The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with an opening statement from Ohio State. Did that look like a team for a title? We've got the highlights right off the top. Then, he's one of the best and best known players of his generation. But we'll tell you why it's going to be tough to find a football fit for Cam Newton. And then, of all these stars, which one is headed for a breakout bounce back year? We're 6 days to the season, and we're ready to get up with you, starting right now on a Football Friday, and we are jammed. And take a look at this. The studio is ready to go. Sacho is fired up. Jeremy Fowler is breaking stories left and right. And we've got a terrific crew ready to go with us today as well. David Pollack and the Game Day crew standing by in Charlotte. The big swagoo is here. Ninkovich is drinking from his own cup. Literally, we'll show it to you as we go. But let's begin. There it is. He's got a cup with his own name on it. But let's begin with Ohio State and Minnesota last night. The number four team in the country, featuring their dynamic new star quarterback, the redshirt freshman C.J. Stroud, replacing Justin Fields. And early, he would struggle. Oh, he's picked in the second quarter. Tough start for Stroud. 8 of 14, 58 yards in the pick in the first half. Minnesota up 14-10 at halftime. But then, Sacha, some of the big stars would come to play for Ohio State, like Chris Olave.
Yes, absolutely. This was a huge play, a game-changing play by C.J. Stroud and Chris Olave. You saw him slow down, speed up in the end zone, touchdown.
Four catches, 117 yards for Olave. And then this one, Stroud again. This is Garrett Wilson.
Yes, those are his two phenomenal weapons at receiver. Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, running wide open. Get used to it, fellas.
Ohio State up 3 points. Fourth quarter, Ohio State's lead is 7. Another five-star, the running back, Travion Henderson. He's going to go to the house.
Yes, short pass, long game in the end zone once again. This game was full of big plays, about 7 big plays, and that was the difference for Ohio State.
Yeah, because they couldn't shake off Minnesota most of the night, under 5 minutes to go. It's still a one-score game from their own 39, but here's Olave again.
Yes, tiptoeing down the sideline. Why? He's a tiptoe, 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 and in the end zone. That was phenomenal. Hopefully they show the other angle. They may not, but go watch it at home.
Four touchdowns for Stroud in his debut, 2 of them to Olave. Frustration for the fans in Minnesota as the Buckeyes win their opener for the 22nd straight year, the longest active streak in the country, third longest in the AP era. Ohio State averaging a program record 10.3 yards per play against the Golden Gophers yesterday. And so let's talk about it a little bit here as we will bring David Pollack and Swagoo into the conversation. And David, obviously, Ohio State is a team people are talking about for a national championship because they're Ohio State. Minnesota 3-4 last year, and they hung in there all night long. What did you see from the Buckeyes last night?
I saw an offense that I think will continue to grow and get better, and big play palooza. I mean, look at him. You had 4 touchdowns over 50 yards. Like, it's going to create big plays. That's what Ryan Day does with all those weapons, with Mayan Williams at running back too. I think they're going to continue to do that all season. But I still see the same problem that I saw at the end of last season. Defensively, I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see communication-wise. I don't like – we still can't defend an RPO over the middle of the field. Like, they're going to improve. They're going to get better. There's a lot of inexperience on that side of the football. I think the offense will be fine. The defense will decide how good this team is.
Sacho, as he was pointing out those flaws, you were nodding along. Is that a concern for you?
Yeah, the defense was definitely a concern, but let's not forget Minnesota 2 years ago was in the Big Ten championship. Mm-hmm. So that Minnesota team is not a bad team. Last year was an anomaly. And so I'm interested to see if Ohio State can show up next week when they play Oregon. That will be a huge matchup.
And Swagoo, you know what championship teams look like. Did Ohio State look like one to you last night in their opener?
Yeah, when you coming out week one, yes. And look, the one thing I know about college football is you got to be able to put points on the board, and you got to do it at a high clip. And Olave out there is one of those guys that I think is going to wreck games. Henderson out of the backfield, Williams out of the backfield. But the one thing that stood out to me was team speed, man. I mean, it was ridiculous looking at it. The concern I have is they have 2 young corners on the outside. what they brought up over the middle. But I looked at those two young corners. They got away with some PIs a lot last night. So those guys are going to have to improve as this season goes along. But looking at this team from a speed standpoint, if Stroud can continue to mature, they have everything you need as far as playmakers to give anybody a push in any game this season.
Well, I'll have Ryan Day, their head coach, on my radio show a little bit later today, so I'll ask him about all of those. Meanwhile, this is just the beginning of what is an enormous college football weekend, and it continues tomorrow. And look at the doubleheader that we have for you on ABC. It starts with Alabama kicking off its season against Miami. The Tide, a 14-game winning streak. They've won 11 of the last 12 meetings with the Canes. We also have the second-ranked Oklahoma team in action tomorrow against Tulane. Expectations super high in Norman with Spencer Rattler, their quarterback, listed as the favorite to win the Heisman at Caesars. And then tomorrow night, primetime on ABC. This is the biggest game of the season. According to the analytics, it's the most important college football game that will be played this year. Number 5, Georgia. Number 3, Clemson. And David Pollack and company will be there in Charlotte. You'll do starting the game day or the day with game day there, and then therefore that game tomorrow night. So let's talk about it. It is extraordinarily heavy with playoff implications. How do you expect this to play out?
Yeah, you say it's the biggest game of the year, and everybody's like, come on, man. It's the first game, Greeny. You got 3 versus 5. Clemson doesn't have another ranked opponent on their schedule until maybe the ACC championship game. So this is enormous, probably a little bit bigger for Clemson, but both these teams have high hopes. Listen, both of these D-lines, and Swagoo can tell you, they are dirty. They are big. They are physical. They are grown men up front. You are not going to push either one of these fronts around. We love points. That's the new age of football. We love all that stuff. We were just talking about Ohio State's offense and how awesome it was. This is going to be the opposite. This game is going to be in the 20s. I expect this game to be really physical, back and forth with low scoring. But, you know, Georgia's got to come out and make a statement. They're down a bunch of weapons, but they got to be the more physical team if they want to win this matchup.
What are you thinking, Swargu?
Do it in the trenches, man. I love what DP is talking about. But, gee, I know you're the man on this show. But can I ask Pollack a question?
Go.
Can I ask him a question?
Of course.
DP, who is JT Daniels, bro? Like, who is JT Daniels? Because when we start talking about national championships and we start talking about Georgia going forward, he played great down the stretch. But who is this dude for real? You and I have had these conversations before. You can look good in college against a lot of people because your schedule is not going to give you challenges every year, every week. But who is this kid in these type of games? From what you get from him and being around the program, obviously, as much as you are.
His numbers look great from a year ago. They ain't play nobody. We know that. They didn't play a single person down the stretch. And so you play Cincinnati, and he looked really, really average. So, I think JT's a good quarterback. Is JT transcendent? I don't know. We're going to find out. I don't think so. I've seen a lot of things that I don't necessarily like about him, but I've also seen I know if you talk to Kirby and those guys, he's the most prepared, most studied quarterback they've ever been around. He's got a notebook for everything, and he's all in. So that's a great, great sign. He's got a good arm. He's not DJ Uiagalelei who can throw it to a car wash and not get it wet. But that's the question for the season. If Georgia is going to be national championship good, he's not going to be a good quarterback. He's got to be great. He's got to be transcendent. And we're going to get that first answer tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Sacha, what do you think? What decides this game?
Yeah, well, I have that same question. Who is JT Daniels? You look at the numbers. He averaged 37 points. He averaged, 486 yards. But they were playing nobody until they played Cincinnati, a top 5 defense. And he didn't look bad. Like, he watched the game. Like, he didn't look bad. Cincinnati's defense was just that good. And so I believe in JT Daniels. DP, maybe you should, too. That's your team, man. What's up? What you waiting for?
Show me, bro. I know against Missouri it looked good and Mississippi State when it's it's 3rd and 28 against Mississippi State and they're running cover 0. I'm like, what on earth are we doing here? So listen, I get it. I get the hype and I see him up there ranked on a lot of people's big boards and all that stuff. But you're going to have to show me this year, bro.
But that Cincinnati game, right? You watched that game. We all watched that game. Cincinnati's defense was great last year. JT Daniels didn't look bad, right? Obviously, the numbers weren't great, but he didn't look bad.
He didn't look
DP,
bad.
DP, let's
put him up for the Heisman then.
Okay.
DP, let me let Sacho in. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Marcus. G. Let Sacho in. If you're going to let someone in, I'm not hearing what that is.
So here's the thing, Sacho. When I was at SEC Network and DP was with Game Day, we always felt like Georgia lacked the quarterback situation to overcome the teams that they needed to in order to win a championship. It was about Chubb. It was about Sony Michel. We knew they were going to be good on defense. We knew the offensive line was going to be big bruisers. And the reason why I asked that question is because the thing, if you talk to Georgia fans, and I've talked to a lot of them, and DP and I have talked a lot, the thing that has held them back is that position. Feeling like when they get to the big game and they need that position to win a game for them, they haven't had that guy. So that's why I was so adamant about asking DP about JT Daniels. Georgia has been good everywhere else for the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years, DP. The problem has been the QB spot, and hopefully it's fixed this year enough to get them over the hump. This is a great first test, too.
They've just been a Justin Fields away. They've just been a Justin Fields away, Marcus. That's all they've been away.
they had Justin Fields, and he didn't manage to play for them. Cindy, let me skip over to the final piece of this. I want you guys all to hear something Mel Kiper said yesterday on this program, because, I mean, the whole Alabama's playing Miami tomorrow. They're a 19.5-point favorite. And so I think the whole world is ready to hand them the trophy because their coach is Nick Saban. Mel Kiper, not so fast. Listen.
When you look at Spencer Rattler, the way he finished the season, he threw 5 picks in the first 4 games last year, and after that, he wasn't going to be stopped. He was touchdown pass after touchdown pass, only 2 picks over those final 7 games. Quarterback who can spin it, gain confidence, cut down on the mistakes, better decision-making. This is a team, I think, and I'll say on the record, Granny, Oklahoma wins the national title this year.
He said it on the record. Oklahoma wins the national title. You see their first 5 games, the big game against Nebraska, which obviously has a lot of history but doesn't feel so big right now. David Pollack, what do you think? Mel Kiper picking Oklahoma to win the championship. What do you say?
I get it. You know, we've seen Oklahoma be so good offensively for all these years, and we finally believe in their defense a little bit more. I mean, you look at them in the playoffs. They give up 50 a game in the playoffs on defense. So now they got a pulse on defense. It absolutely gives them a chance. Kirk picked Oklahoma to win a national title too, so Mel's on board with Kirk.
What do you think, Marcus? Wouldn't it be ironic if they were to win the national championship and then go to the SEC the following year?
It would be ironic, G, but I got to see it before I believe it. I know Alex Grinch has been improving this defense. Even when they played LSU in the playoff, this is all I heard. Better defense, and they got beat to sleep. Great. So I got to see that before I believe it. Offensively, we know what's popping with Oklahoma.
What do you think, Sacho?
Yeah, I'm with you, Swagoo. I got to see it before I believe it. Grinch has been improving the defense third year. Their defense looks different. They're bigger. They look more like they could play against the SEC. But once again, when those lights come on, they don't always perform.
David Pollack and company will start your day tomorrow morning from Charlotte with Game Day and work our way all the way through it. David, thank you. We have more college football conversation as we continue. In the meantime, to the NFL, we will go next. The Packers say the communication between Aaron Rodgers and the front office has been good. What does Swagoo say? You'll find out next. Plus, Cam is available. The Cowboys love stars. Should Dallas add a former MVP? We'll answer that question as we get up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by GEICO. Save even more when you bundle home and car insurance. And by Marvel Studios' Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, now playing in theaters everywhere. What does Swaggoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster.
He lying, G.
Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
Ooh, a Friday edition of Swaggoo Says, where you'll hear what people say and then Marcus will tell you what they really mean. And it starts in our new favorite place, Green Bay, Wisconsin, where Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst spoke on working with Aaron Rodgers this offseason. Listen.
I've had really good conversations throughout camp with Aaron and Matt, and I think the communication has been really, really good. And so as we went into this kind of decision-making period, I think you know, everybody, all the people that are kind of involved in that were very aware of what was going on and why we were doing what we were doing. So I feel really good about that. And the conversations that I've had with Aaron have been excellent.
So that's what he said. What does Swaggoo say?
Gee, the one thing I've learned as an adult is that sometimes in work environments and in certain places, you go alone to get along. But basically, Brian Gutekunst is saying, I'll be so happy when we can stop faking like we like each other. And that's the sentiment that I think all of them have. At some point, we gonna write a book and we gonna talk about the real hate that we have for each other. But right now, we gonna play the game.
I think that's exactly right. Next one is Kyle Shanahan. The stop is in San Francisco, commenting on announcing his starters for week one. Here's what he said.
I don't need to announce the quarterback. I don't think I need to announce the starting punt returner either, but I bet you guys can figure it out.
All right, so that's what he said. What does Swaggoo say?
Basically, that's the look of saying, hey, fam, I live in California. I'm rich. I'm young. I got a general manager that listens to everything I say. And it don't matter who I start at quarterback because I call offense so damn well. So good luck to everybody else in the rest of the league trying to defend what we have. I don't need to tell you nothing. I'm rich and I'm a coach.
He does say a lot of funny things, like, I don't need to tell you who the starting punt returner is, as though that's comparable. All right, it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. I think we all understand that. Finally, to Chicago. They've got a different kind of quarterback situation. He was their general manager, Ryan Pace.
I just feel like we're just in a good position with Andy. You know, like we, it starts with how we feel about Andy, and we're very confident in him and where he's at. So there's no need for us to rush Justin. Playing quarterback in the NFL, there's so much that goes into that, you know, and so much different than you'd even see in the preseason. Just the weekly preparation, seeing NFL defenses in the regular season, and all those things. And I just think the more time he has to learn that and observe that, the better off for him.
All right, so that's what he said. What does Swaggoo say?
Lord, I need y'all to hear my prayers. I need Andy Dalton to buy enough time in order for Justin Fields to be ready to play. Because if he doesn't, me and Matt Nagy are going to be in Cancun on a boat, hoping that we can get another job in this league somewhere. That's all it boils down to for Ryan Pace. You could hear the fear in his voice about hoping that Andy Dalton is okay until they feel like Justin Fields is ready. Cancun, here we come, because Andy Dalton ain't about to ball, G.
I think that's about it. Well, we're going to find that out. Now, let me bring in the crew here. Let me start with the pride of Joliet, Illinois. You know Rob Ninkovich from his years with the Patriots, but down deep inside, that guy is a Bear at heart. What do you think of the decision to go with Dalton over Fields to start the season?
I think they guaranteed him $10 million, so that's why he's your starting quarterback. You go out and you draft a young quarterback. What's the difference in 3 to 4 weeks? If they lose the first three games, everybody's going to be screaming for the rookie to be in there, and they'll probably make the change. So for me, I think the only reason that Andy Dalton is actually the starter is because they guaranteed him $13 million. And guess what? If I paid someone $13 million to paint my house, I can guarantee that that guy's going to be painting my house. So that's why he's starting week one.
Jeremy Fowler, Is that the reason Andy Dalton is painting their house?
See, I think they're going to paint it Red Rifle Red for at least a couple games. And I think they would have done that whether he's making $13 million or he's making $3 million. I really do, because when I was asking around before the draft, I heard from the Bears, like, hey, this kid is awesome. He's going to be great, cornerstone, but it's going to be a process. We want to give him time. That's been the feeling for 5 or 6 months now. So as much as fans want to hyperventilate, get Justin Fields in there, they think they can win 10 games with Andy Dalton.
Sacho, let me point this out to you. I've been hearing, I'll get to you, Nick, in a second, I promise, but I've been hearing from people in Chicago, the offensive line is so bad, like worse than people even realize, that they're afraid to put the rookie back there, that they're afraid he's not ready yet to deal with whatever level of pressure, despite his athleticism, that they may face. Is that a factor?
Yeah, I don't think that's the reason why you see Andy Dalton in at this position. I think the reason why you see Andy Dalton playing right now is that, like Jeremy said, the Bears believe in Andy Dalton, especially early on. Not 4 games, not 3 games, right? They believe him for at least half of the season. You can see what he can do. Andy Dalton, yes, he has 3 Pro Bowls. We understand that. Yes, he's played solid. But more than that, they believe in their defense. They believe in their team. And they're not, Matt Nagy was in Kansas City 4 years ago with Patrick Mahomes. He had a front row seat to this thing. It's not ancient history. It's 4 years ago. And so he's saying, okay, if that's the model, I'll take a little bit of what I like, maybe not the same way, maybe something similar, and then do it my way.
Marcus, I have a funny feeling you disagree.
I just don't. The comparison with Kansas City just bothers me so much, G, because it's such a different situation than circumstance, man. Like people forget that the only reason Andy Dalton was in Dallas is because the Bengals didn't want him anymore. Mm. The Bengals did not want Andy Dalton anymore. But everybody forgets about that. Like, Andy Dalton is going to have a resurrection of a career behind a bad offensive line in Chicago. And I hate to, like, Andy Dalton ain't trash. He don't suck. But Andy Dalton is not going to lift your team above where you should be. And I don't know if Justin Fields is going to lift your team from a mental standpoint as far as understanding the whole NFL game yet. But I know from an athletic standpoint and just a reflexive standpoint, a football playing standpoint, he can. I'm no longer going to argue about Justin Fields starting week one, obviously, because it's not happening. But we got to get off this, like, Andy Dalton, bro. Andy Dalton got kicked out by his own franchise before he ended up in Dallas. But everybody talk about he's supposed to be a king this year.
Let me get the Chicago kid back in for a final word. Go, Nink.
The last time I checked, statues don't move. And if they have an offensive line that is not good, put Andy Dalton out there and see what happens. They might set the sack record this season. You have a young, athletic quarterback.
Ooh.
If you don't have a great offensive line, what can help a bad offensive line? A mobile quarterback who can get out of the pocket and can move around and use his legs to your advantage. If Andy Dalton's back there, he's a statue. He ain't going to move. He's going to be there. They're going to sack him. So if it's 2, 4 weeks, even 8 weeks, what's the difference? Get the kid out there. Let him play, because he's going to play at some point. He's going to start this year at some point.
Nico, we may have to get a letter from the superfans in before the show is over today. We got 90 minutes. Let's see if we hear from them. We will come back to this, I promise, and give everyone another shot at it. But meantime, coming up, which of these star players most desperately needs a big-time bounce back this football season? We'll answer that question next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Thousands who are affected by Hurricane Ida urgently need your support. Please donate at redcross.org/ESPN if you can, to help the Red Cross respond to and help people recover from this disaster. And we continue on Get Up here. Back to the football conversation. Jeremy Fowler, my insider. Let's run the hurry up, starting with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, Greeny, I'm told that Saquon Barkley is trending toward week one. Things are looking pretty good. The team is optimistic. They have not made a decision yet. They're being extra cautious with him. He has not taken much contact at all, but I'm told he's been ramping up slowly each week, feeling good, and so there's a good chance he plays. They're going to make that determination early to mid next week for week one against the Broncos, but he is likely to debut with his team at this point. They feel good about that. Let's go to Deshaun Watson. I'm told that the Houston Texans have received multiple offers for Watson over the last weeks and months. They're simply not budging right now. They're giving teams indications that maybe they don't even want to do a deal. And there's a realistic scenario where this could drag out all year and that Watson is actually eligible to play because he doesn't he's not set to meet with a grand jury until February. He wants to fight for his innocence here. There's no movement on his case. Miami is looming large here still. I'm told that Watson would be at least intrigued by playing there. Let's go to Cam Newton. Now, his market is a bit slow right now. That's to be expected. It's early. I'm told the Minnesota Vikings at least discussed this internally, his availability. I don't think that's going to happen. They went and signed Sean Mannion recently as a backup. The Cowboys signed Will Greer, so they're probably out right now. And there's a feeling around the league that maybe Cam Newton waits because he wants to be a starter, and so there could be an injury league-wide somewhere else. Maybe he waits a few weeks, see how the season goes, and try to hop in somewhere.
Well, that's interesting. So the Cowboys, because they're the Cowboys, everyone immediately jumped on that the other day when Cam was released. Let's play the Mike McCarthy, the coach in Dallas. He commented on it. This is what he said.
Just to sit here and talk about any of the players on our roster, I don't think there's really anything that beneficial that comes out of that for us. But Cam's, I had a chance to compete against Cam, you know, a chance to watch, you know, some of his tape in New England. So I still think he has a ton of football left. But, you know, we're very excited about the group that we have.
All right, so they're very excited about the group that they have. Marcus Spears, my beloved Cowboy, are you excited about that group? You were the first one I saw saying get Cam to the Cowboys. Do you think Dallas should sign Cam?
Well, not anymore since they got Will Greer from Carolina, but I knew the backup situation in Dallas wasn't ideal with Cooper Rush. So when you think about where they are now with Will Greer, they feel good about it. But here's the deal, man. And look, coaches, players alike are going to talk about this, G, and I talked about it a week ago with Cam. There's an affinity for Cam, man. This dude was league MVP. We saw him play at the highest level you can play in this game. But if you honest, Cam does not look like a starter. And I know a lot of people are going to be upset, but the last time we saw Cam Newton, he did not look like a starter in this league. Yes, and Cam said it. It's not 32 guys better than me. It may not be. But Cam understands this as well as Sam Macho, as well as Neat. Sometimes it ain't about being better than the guy that teams have. It's about the situation that these guys are in. So, look, it's unfortunate that Cam is starting to figure out that the backup role is chasing them down and the starter thing might be out of the window unless something happens with an injury. But at the same time, man, we here a week away from the season. And remember last year when Cam was available, the teams wasn't beating the door down for his services. I'm concerned about Cam as far as his career as a starter. And I just want to see where this thing goes. I hope he gets on in another opportunity, but it doesn't look good right now.
Sacho, do you think he's a backup quarterback somewhere?
No, I don't think he's a backup quarterback anywhere. Cam has a mentality of I am the guy, I am the starter. And sometimes when you have that mentality, you don't want to go somewhere and just back up and just collect checks. Some people do that, right? In college, we call them hamburger eaters. You travel, you eat the food, you don't play in the games. That's not Cam Newton. Cam Newton is not a hamburger eater. He wants to be the MVP. He feels, maybe he feels like he can, but we watched the tape. He didn't look good. Maybe he's not healthy. He's not going to go somewhere and back up. That's not in his mentality.
Ninko, what do you think? Should he be eating hamburgers?
Of course. I mean, listen, how are you going to expect to walk into a building as the starter when somebody goes down and just, bang, understand the whole playbook and come in and just play football right away? Being the backup gives you an opportunity to, number one, get the offense and be comfortable in the offense, understand the language of the offense, get on the same page with the offense. If you just wait for an opportunity to come in and be the starter, well, then that's not going to help you be successful when you're coming into a new position, a new spot, a new city with a new playbook, new players, and expect to go out there and be an MVP. That's not going to happen. It'll almost hurt him. So why not go and find a job so you can learn the offense?
Go ahead, Twago.
Let me say this, G, because listen, man, Nink and Acho are right about Cam's mentality. But you know me, I'm going to call it out. I don't care about people being mad at me. I don't give a damn. G, you know I ain't never gave a damn about that. Bro, fellas, Cam just got beat out by a rookie, okay? That's the reality of what we're looking at right now. He just got beat out by Mac Jones in New England to be the starter. We didn't make that decision. One of the best coaches to ever coach in the NFL made that decision to go with a rookie quarterback, something he's never done in his career. Bill Belichick, I'm talking about. So if it's anything that we say, it's not a bigger indictment on the fact that Bill Belichick decided to go with Mac Jones over Cam Newton to lead a football team that potentially is a playoff football team. That ain't us saying it. That's the reality of what just happened.
That's well said. That's a really good point. I'll leave it there for the moment. I'm coming back. Jeremy Fowler wants to. Everyone wants in, but I got millions of things I need to do. Let me put 30 seconds on the clock for everybody because we've got other places to go here. And it starts, Sacho, with you. Because there are a bunch of players who it feels like have a lot to prove this season as they come back. To you, Sacho. What does Zeke Elliott need to prove this season? 30 seconds, go.
Yeah, Zeke needs to prove, number one, that he can hang on to the ball. He had fumbling issues last year. Number two, prove that he is back in shape and back to the old Zeke, that rookie year Zeke, the one who would jump into the red cross thing. The one who was just celebrating the end zone. That's the Zeke we need to see if the Cowboys are going to not only make the playoffs, but win in the playoffs. We know who Dak is. We know what the offense is. We believe the defense will be better, but this team will revolve around Ezekiel Elliott and that running attack.
Quick correction as I think about it. It was the Salvation Army thing.
Salvation Army.
Getting it wrong. You know what I meant. Into the thing. You all know what we were talking about. All right, Swaggoo, you're next. What does Saquon Barkley need to prove this season? 30 seconds, go.
Just healthy, G. Saquon Barkley is a dynamic player. He's going to be one of the top three, four backs in the NFL. He's going to be used in multiple ways, but the health is the issue. And obviously, we put a highlight on that because it's the running back position. And we know he's coming off of an ACL injury. Saquon Barkley for 17 games in the NFL will be one of the top 10 to 15 players in the entire league as long as he can stay on the field. And God knows Daniel Jones and this damn offensive line need him worse than probably any team in the league.
That's a good point. And speaking about another guy coming back from an ACL, Ninko, you've got Odell Beckham. What does he need to prove this season? 30 seconds, go.
Consistency. He's got to be consistent. Odell's coming back from an ACL. I've been there. I've had an ACL injury. Confidence. Gaining confidence coming back on the football field is going to be number one. You can run all the routes and you can do everything training-wise, but being on the field and running it in live situations is a completely different story. So regaining confidence, going out there and being consistent for the Cleveland Browns, that's what they're going to need for them to be at the top of the division, which everyone thinks they're going to win the division. He's going to have to play at a high level, and he's going to have to be there for 17 weeks.
All right, so those are three players coming back in different circumstances. They're certainly not the only players that feel like they have a lot to prove this year. Here's just another list of notable players who are coming off of either down seasons or injured seasons, and you see the names on the list again. It's sort of a wide array of players and reasons why they are on it. So with that, I'm going to put the question to everyone in the group here. Which player do you believe is under the most pressure to put together a big bounce back year in 2021? Swaggoo, I'll start with you.
Zeke Elliott, G, and Sam Acho just talked about it. But more importantly than Zeke returning to his own form, he's a key cog to what the Dallas Cowboys are going to be as a team. Listen, the run game affects defense. I don't know why we don't have this conversation more, but it helps defenders. I know my big fat butt was sitting over there on the sideline when Marion Barber was churning out yards, and I came back to the next series fresh, and I could go get after it. That's what Zeke Elliott needs to do for the entire Dallas Cowboys football team and take pressure off of Dak and not need to throw for 350 yards a game, maybe rush for 150 and throw for 250.
I like that. Ninko, how about you? Who do you think is under the most pressure to have a big bounce back?
I think Ben Roethlisberger. Listen, I don't think last year Ben had a terrible season, but last year after that 11-in-a-row streak, and then they fell off the cliff, everyone pointed at Big Ben, and everyone this offseason, all the so-called experts think that the Steelers are going to be last in that division. I don't think so at all. I think Big Ben is going to go out there, he's going to perform at a high level, and they're going to compete for a division championship. I can guarantee that.
That's an interesting one. I mean, Philip Rivers is coaching in high school, and Eli Manning is jumping out of boxes on Good Morning America. and their classmate Ben Roethlisberger still out there doing it at 39 years
old. He's still rolling.
Sacho, you're next. Who's under the most pressure to bounce back?
Yeah, I believe the answer to this question is Kyler Murray, not because of injury, but because of consistency. We need to see Kyler step up. That team in Arizona is loaded. They've got D-Hop at receiver, A.J. Green on defense. They got Buda Baker. They got J.J. Watt. They got Chandler. They got everybody you want. They got them. And so the limiting reactant has been the play of Kyler Murray. We talked about the injury last year. He didn't want to run him as much. But the 12 interceptions, those got to go down. The touchdowns got to go up even more consistently if you want to see the Arizona Cardinals be successful this NFL season.
All right, that's an interesting one. Jeremy Fowler, how about you? Most pressure to bounce back.
Greeny, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to go Lamar Jackson here because I sat here a few weeks ago on this show and I said that some people around the league believe that Lamar Jackson will be figured out this year. Ryan Clark gave me the side eye. I took a bunch of heat on social media. But the truth is there are skeptics out there around the league wondering whether in a two-minute drill, if you're down, can he get it done as an accurate passer? I know some quarterbacks even in the league who wonder about that with Lamar. Now, he has a lot of supporters league-wide, too. I want to see him prove everybody wrong. He's in a contract year. He's going into week one. He doesn't have a new deal. They finished last in passing last year. I could see that going up, but he's got some things to prove, no doubt.
It's a different kind of pressure, as you say, because he's in that contract situation. There could be, $100 and something million riding on how it goes for this season. Okay, let's take a quick break on that thought. As we continue, does John Gruden have the Raiders ready to be a playoff contender, or will Vegas consume the black hole? That's one of the questions that we'll have the answer to. And then here comes another. Let's see if Sacho is ready for Hembo's fastball today. Among the 32 active head coaches, who lost the most games over the last three seasons? That's the question. We'll see if Sacho has the answer next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Buckle up. Everybody buckle up.
Blah, blah.
What the hell can I say at this point?
Beep, boop, beep, boop, bop, bop, bop.
He's doing his Rosie from the Jetsons imitation.
What?
Beep, boop, bop, beep, beep, boop.
Cool.
I'm building a new pool in my backyard, and the pool is going to be great when it's done. There will be a couple of nights where, Booger, you don't have hot water because of the construction process.
Am I the only one who thinks that Booger needs someone different putting in his pool?
But you have no hot water in your house by putting a pool in your backyard.
Because Andy Dalton building this damn pool instead of Jesse Bean.
I'm going to go with Zach Wilson, my choice for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Someone else talk. I'm speechless.
This talk about Rookie of the Year, I think, is grossly exaggerated.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you anymore. And by that, I mean I've stopped listening.
Zach Wilson, watch out.
This has genuinely been the best day I've had in 10 years.
You just came off vacation with your family.
Booger McFarland tweeted this. Andrew Thomas equals Burger King. If you line up against him, just have it your way.
That's the bug I know everybody.
That is a whopper of a tweet, if you will. We have had a lot of fun here over the course of the weekend. We are so grateful every time you choose to get up with us. Meantime, Sacho, the room seems to be startlingly rooting for you, which I find confusing. But here's the question. Among the 32 active NFL head coaches, which one has lost the most games over the last 3 years?
I'm going to go Vic Fangio. Though I would love to go John Gruden, I'm going to go with Vic Fangio.
Well, why would you have loved to go John Gruden?
I don't like John.
Because he was right.
Oh, no!
That's the answer. You managed to talk yourself out of it to the delight of Hembo, who was celebrating in the corner of the room. Hembo takes this far too seriously. Let's talk about John. Again, he has lost the most games of any coach in the league the last 3 years. We're entering the year four of the Gruden era with the Raiders this second time around. His first season back in 2018, the Raiders finished last in the division, 4-12. The four wins tied for the fewest of any year in Gruden's career. Things did improve some in 2019. Now, the last year they played in Oakland, the Raiders finished 7-9. That's a 3-win improvement, but no trip to the playoffs. And then they finished 500 last year, so there's been some incremental improvement. Their first year in Vegas, the 8 wins, the most they've had in a season since 2016, which, by the way, was the last time they reached the playoffs. Raiders general manager Mike Mayock had this to say about his team's postseason plans. He said, John and I will both tell you, we feel like we need to be a playoff team this year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You guys are all going to put that in your headlines, and I understand it, but that's what the expectation is. We think we've done the infrastructure work necessary to put us in position, and we've got to take care of business. Now, the owner is Mark Davis, and he responded by saying, it's always nice to hear somebody say that, but let's go out and do it. I'd be much more impressed if they did it. His dad was famous for saying, just win, baby. So let's talk about it. Jeremy Fallow, let me start with you. What is at stake for Gruden and the Raiders this year?
Well, what's at stake is the John Gruden, Mike Mayock marriage, right? They need to start seeing the fruits of that. Just talking to people around the league, they feel like there's at least some mild pressure there for them to get it done. You know, John Gruden's under contract for a long time. He's likely not going anywhere, but they've rebuilt the defense again. And, you know, texting with people this morning around the league, the feeling is like, you know, they have decent talent, but it's kind of a collection of stray parts. And, you know, they don't have a lot of team speed. Are they going to get left behind this year? And so there are major questions surrounding what they can do.
Swagoo, how good is the Las Vegas Raiders going to be this year?
Offensively, they'll be really good. Defensively, I don't know what the hell Gus Bradley going to do with this unit. Because last year, they forgot people could throw the football. And they said, look, we just going to try to defend the run. And if they throw the ball, we'll let them score a touchdown. And then we'll let Derek Carr and Darren Waller try to outscore them as we go throughout the game. This is the same team that beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So nobody questions if they can put points up on the board. The reason why they won 8 games last year is because they have a prolific offense. Yes, I said prolific. Big play offense, and they can get in the end zone. Josh Jacobs in the backfield. But from a defensive standpoint, Gus Bradley coming over. Now, let me tell everybody this. Gus Bradley is from the Pete Carroll tree. It's a cover three scheme. He got to figure out what the hell they going to do with John Abrams. First, Abrams got to stay healthy. And if you're going to put him in that knock your head off Cam Chancellor role, you got to make sure these guys know what they're doing. Cleveland Farrell, he has to become the first pick production-wise that they drafted him that high. Remember, they got rid of Khalil Mack, y'all. They let Khalil Mack walk out of the building. And then Amari Cooper. Is Ruggs going to turn into a number one receiver, or are they going to have to run this through a tight end? But defensively, G, they signed KJ Wright. There needs to be a total makeover. This team was similar to Dallas last year. Could score a lot of points. Can't stop nobody. And then shootouts at the end, it became a problem.
And the biggest difference is, unlike Dallas, they play in a division with a lot of really good teams. Ninka, where are they in that AFC West?
They're at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, look, good luck playing cover three against Kansas City. I mean, listen, they're not going to be anywhere above at the top here fighting for the division. And again, I think it's tough. It's hard for John Gruden to move to a new place. Listen, they're not filming The Hangover in Kansas City or Denver, right? They're filming it in Vegas. Vegas, baby, Vegas. We're going to Vegas. I can't even go to Vegas. My wife won't let me go to Vegas anymore. That's done. Unless she comes with me, I can't go. So listen.
I'll take you to Vegas.
If you're 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, you got a few bucks in your pocket, and every single day you can go out and do whatever you want, it's a hard place to be. So I just think that it's going to be difficult for them to be at the top to fight for the division. Honestly, right now, it just doesn't look good.
Sacho, the Vegas of it all, will it be hard for an NFL team to succeed there?
I don't think so if you have the right coach. I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday, me and Swagoo. Bill Belichick has found a way to keep his players winning. Nick Saban, a great coach, found a way to keep his players motivated. A good coach, it doesn't matter if you're playing in Vegas, if you're playing in Antarctica. If you can coach, you can coach. If your players are motivated and dedicated, they'll be motivated and dedicated. Yes, it may be more difficult because there's distractions. But teams that want to win, they will distract their distractions. That's what they're going to do. And so it doesn't matter if they were in Las Vegas, in Los Angeles, in Las Colinas, the Raiders will still be the Raiders, bottom of that division.
Let me ask you a question, Nico. You played for Bill all those years. Would you have had a problem staying on the straight and narrow if Bill Belichick was your coach and you were playing when you were 25 years old in Vegas?
Well, he I had just no told money when I was 25, so I had no money, so I would have been fighting to try and get a contract, right? I'm talking about them guys that come out of college, and now these dudes coming out of college are going to have millions in their pockets. So when they get to the league, they'll be like, all right, cool, a little more change from my pocket. But I'm telling you, when I came out, I was at the bottom of the barrel too, so I was fighting to get a contract.
All right, we'll see. That didn't really answer the question.
We're taking a good
his wife's still not letting him go to Vegas. Don't let him give anything away.
Nick would have been full hangover.
Yeah, Nick would have been full hangover. Part. Look, you guys could be the Wolfpack. You'd be the four best friends that anybody could have. All right, coming up, it is week one in college football, but is it already a must-win situation for several title contenders? We're going live to both College Game Day and SEC Nation next. Get up on ESPN.
You guys all.